Good morning, welcome everybody to the Accessory County Council meeting of March 13th, 2018. First thing to approve the agenda, Mrs. Jennings, any changes?
There are no changes, Mr. President.
Entertained a motion to approve the agenda.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Arlett, second, Mr. Wilson, any questions? Take the vote, Mr. Arlett.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I'll be yes, motion carried. We had the minutes of February 27th. Any corrections or questions? Hearing none, they'll stand approved. Correspondence, Mr. Moore.
I have none, Mr. President.
Any correspondence from council? Correspondence from council. Public comments, Mr. Guy. Thank you, sir. Paul Ritter.
George. Good afternoon, George.
Good to see you, Sam. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thanks, Paul.
Good morning, Paul Ritter, 18171 Deer Forest Road, Georgetown. Basically, back to Board of Adjustment again. After the last hearing from March 5th, just recent, what I've been pointing out, if you notice what's highlighted on the first page, under old business, you have the case 12092, which comes back section 115-25. But as what I was referencing is the way that we used to do it, right underneath it is an old case from last year prior that did have the added section in the code that it refers to. That's what Board of Adjustment or whoever did the agendas has taken off of the agenda going forward, which should be put back or however you want to rectify it. The other one concerns on the same topic with the meaning of different hearings and what people are coming for. If you look at the bottom of the second page, 12112, existing non-conforming use. How is most general the public out there supposed to know what that means or even have a clue whether it concerns them at all concerning major special events ordinance, how it was portrayed coming in? If you look at the hearings that you had for your special events ordinance, you had a whole bunch of people, it seemed like for, against, however it went. But at that Board of Adjustment hearing, the way that this was advertised, you really didn't have nobody there at all. So is that just in the way it was advertised? Don't know how you do it, whether you even know, looking at it, what it meant, what it was advertised for. And when you look at the agendas for how important they are, even if you look at why you had to pull Overbrook off, I believe, it was because somebody had made a mistake on an address. It just seems like somehow with the agendas going back and forth, you guys really need to pay more attention, figure out how to correct it for public opinion, and not make errors on it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Can I ask you a question based on that?
Sure. Mr. Ritter?
No, not him. No, I was just going to ask
Mr. Moore. Never mind, sir.
That's all right. But he brought up the case, the 12112, and it says seeks a determination of an existing non-conforming use. And it actually implies that there is an existing...
Second page.
Yeah, second page here. So the last one there, it says seeks a determination of an existing non-conforming use. Anybody reading that would probably think there is an existing non-conforming use. But, you know, there or something.
I think that's their argument.
But I'm just saying if somebody reads this who's gotcha. Looking at this and read it for the first time and is concerned about something in their neighborhood, that I'd almost read that as saying it implies there is an existing use. And they're just getting, you know, I don't know. It does seem that the wording is a little odd. And Everett, does P&Z, it comes out of P&Z, or does the county attorney's office ever review any of these?
I believe that it's through the planning and zoning office, but okay. I don't know for sure if we look at that, if Jamie looks at that as well.
Because this is Board of Adjustment. Yeah,
right, I know. I'm just saying, but it probably is everywhere. It's just a little change in wording, you know, can mean a lot.
Right.
Words mean things. So anyway, somebody possibly should be reviewed, you know, there should be two eyes or something looking.
Yeah, here's Dave, get Dave pick on her.
Anything else?
No, no, it's just, I was just.
Dan Kramer?
My name is Dan Kramer. Following up on that, it's a bad time they start advertising this stuff correctly, because there again, there's no way in this world, how many people out here don't even have a computer, haven't got a clue? And if you go on the computer, even if you have those numbers, how many even know how to look it up? And then you have 11525 may have a whole list of stuff. Well, which one is it? Is it X, Y, and Z, or is it just one? So that needs to be very clear, and it's not being done. It needs to be straightened up.
Thanks, sir. Next presentation from Atlanta General Hospital. Morning, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Excuse me, and thank you all for giving us some time to talk about what we're doing regionally and updating you on what's happening in our community that joins together with where we are in Worcester County and across the state line and the practices that we have up here in Sussex County. But quickly, I'm clicking instead of rolling. This year is our 25th anniversary year. You'll be hearing a lot from us about that. And I'm not going to scroll through every one of these slides. There's a lot of information in there for you. I'm going to hit some of the high points to keep things moving along. But I do want to talk about where we have a shared responsibility, and that's what's important for us to be a part of and make sure that we're always keeping in mind as we work together with the different municipalities and the governments around us. But there, if you look at what comprises a community where there's good health and there's access to good health, a lot of that has to do with, and these are rankings that are done nationally on an annual basis. And the two key areas are health outcomes and health factors. Health outcomes, which are the length of life and the quality of life in a community. And then the health factors are those things that affect the health outcomes, which have to do with the physical environment, which is air quality, water quality, those types of things. The social and environmental factors, social and economic factors, and the health behavior factors are really the two key areas that what makes up the community, and that's 70% of really what affects the health and well-being in the community, which tobacco use and alcohol and drug use, the education levels and the quality of education in the communities, what family and social support is available within the communities and in the population. And then clinical care is where obviously we focus as a healthcare organization. How do we create better access to care, and how do we make sure that's good quality care that affects 20% of those health factors? And the way the county health rankings work out is they focus on the health outcomes and the health factors. This is a little different for Delaware when you look at this, because you're comparing three counties. So there's not a whole lot of comparison when we look at that. But you can see that from a health outcomes, so longevity and quality of life, Sussex County ranks first out of the three counties in Delaware, but ranking second when you look at the health factors, which again are those items that have a lot to do with the socio and economic and the access to health care issues in the communities. So I'm pointing that out because, and by the way, if you go, and I put this in there for your information, you can go and look at the website and you can compare to what other counties you want to look at, so you can see all the details that are behind that data. But the importance of that is that we're in this partnership, and it's our responsibility in working together to try and figure out what to do in the communities to make sure we have a healthier community, which then can bring down the overall healthcare costs and make it a better quality of life in those communities. Every 3 years, we're obligated to do a community health assessment, health needs assessment. And our last one was done in 2016. And if you look at the top priority areas that came out of here, access to healthcare services came up, and this is from public reporting. So this is looking at Worcester County, at Sussex County, at the areas that we provide services in. And this is something that moved to the top that wasn't at the top before, but it's also something that shows up a lot on those health listings. So how do we provide better access to healthcare services? Key issues that also showed up this year that weren't as noticeable the last time that we measured it was the mental health and opioid abuse issues. So you can see how what's happening in the community and what's happening in the media and what's happening in our public health areas are directly being felt by the people in our community, and they're stating concerns about it.
Before we move on, may I, Mr. President, real quick?
And
thank you, first off, for being here.
Sure.
As we've talked many times, it's vital that you guys are here and participate in this community. But Mr. Franklin, when you talk about access,
yes,
what does that really mean? I mean, does that mean affordability? Does that mean, what does that really, I mean, in layman's terms, what does that mean?
It means all that stuff. And
again, you hear that term often.
Right. Well,
what does that really mean?
If you dig into, if you go back into this area, they rank it out and they give you specifics. You can click on each one of those and you can look at access and it'll give you some definitions. But typically how we look at it is that means, is there an equal distribution or a distribution of healthcare services throughout the community, throughout the region, where everybody pretty much has an equal access to those services?
Does that mean insurance? Does that mean
it means
mobility, actually literally driving to the facility?
I mean, yes.
It does mean that as well.
Affordability is a key part of it. Affordability has to do with availability of health insurance, whether it's publicly supported like Medicare or Medicaid, or whether it's private health insurance and affordability on the health insurance exchange or whatever that is, as well as can I get there? Because if I don't have a primary care practice that's somewhere close to where I live, I'm not going to establish a relationship with that primary care office, so I'm going to use the emergency room, and I'm going to go there only when I'm really sick. And so there's a dynamic there that means I'm not going to be as healthy when you look at these health factors. Oops, my fingers. You look at these health factors and the access to care, you can see is one from a clinical care side, but that directly affects the health factors in the community and the quality of life and the health outcomes in that community. So yes, it's availability of health insurance. So that creates the affordability to go and have access to services. And those services have to be present in a way that I can get there on a relatively easy basis. Because if I don't, I won't access it. And then it doesn't do me any good anyway.
Thank you.
Certainly. And as we go down to the mental health abuse and opioid abuse, as I was pointing out, that's obviously a big issue in our region. It's something that we've been working on a lot. So I just put some data in here to point out issues associated with that, particularly focused on the Delaware area. And you can see that there's been an increase, and this is the data through September of 2017 from the CDC. So there's been a 50% increase in ED visits regarding opioid overdoses in the state of Delaware. Year over year, and there's information out there on how to do that, but there's been a lot of coordinated efforts, and I wanted to show some of the ways we've addressed it over in Worcester County. Also, is that we have created this committee that's public, that's public health as well as law enforcement, and all of us have been working on a lot of these issues. And you can see in the same time period, Maryland had a 12% increase overall, but Worcester County has had a 42% decrease in the number of alcohol-related and drug-related deaths that have been reported. So there are a lot of different strategies and a lot of different initiatives going on to try and address this epidemic across our country. So those are just some of the public health issues that I wanted to get through that's driving where we're going with our strategic plan and our strategic vision over the next several years, and how we're coordinating care and what are we doing to make sure people have good access to care, but they also are using care in a proper way. One of the key issues that has been cited is the ability to get access to medications so that when people come to the hospital, they have a problem like congestive heart failure or diabetes, or there are lots of chronic issues that we have in an older population. Are we making sure that people have the prescriptions they need when they go back home after they've been in the hospital? We now have a concierge service, so we're delivering those medications at the bedside before they leave, so we know that they have it, because studies have shown that only about 2/3 to 3/4 of the people will stop at a pharmacy and get their medication. And then 2 weeks later, people that don't get their medication show up back in the hospital. So how are we preventing those things from happening? How are we doing a better job of making sure that our kids coming through and growing up are better consumers of healthcare and are more cognizant of good, healthy behaviors than our past generations have been. And we have a health literacy program in the public school system now that's working. This is in the Worcester County Public Schools. And it's the only program like this that we know of in the country where we're working on integrating health literacy concepts into the core curriculum. So it's about science, reading, social studies, math, not just about health education class. So how do we use things like food labels as a simple way of doing it? You can do a whole lot of math problems and learn a lot of math concepts, but using food labels so you can also teach health concepts along with math concepts and things like that integrated in the school system. We're working with the University of Maryland to do some research on the effectiveness of that. And as we talk about access to primary care, to answer more of your question, access to care is also making sure there are physicians available and physicians placed in the community where people can access them. A big issue associated with opioid use is chronic pain. So we've recruited over the last year Dr. Zaki, who's focused on pain management and how do we do a better job of managing chronic pain without the use of opioids. We've also expanded to provide better access to women's health. Dr. Musselman is based in Selbyville. Dr. Cherry is more available down in the southern part of the county. We've, over the past 6 months, brought in an endocrinologist to deal with the diabetes that we have in this community. And then we also have expanded the number of primary care physicians with Dr. Pai being up here in Ocean View and adding other family practice physicians. Melanoma is the number one diagnosed cancer in our region. We added the dermatologist in Selbyville a couple of years ago. And we've expanded our general surgery to also help with oncology and specialty care, and we're expanding our oncologists. And obviously, we'll talk about the cancer center that we're building to deal with oncology. You saw that as a number two item that was in our community health needs assessment. Part of us taking care of and giving people access to healthcare services is also making sure that we have people there and we have a good facility that clinical people want to come and work at, particularly nurses and other caregivers. And we won this award over the last year, which also relates to the fact that we have very little turnover in our clinical staff, which is good for our patients, good for our organization. And by us also creating a healthier workforce, our medical claims are 20% lower than we expected in 2016 and 2017. In those 2 years, we haven't had to have any increase in our healthcare premiums for our employees because of the fact that we're creating a healthier workforce and we do a lot of these issues with health coaching and access to health, a healthy campus and doing things like that with our associates. So we're doing a lot to make sure that we're managing our costs, we're creating a healthy environment, we're creating a healthy community through the people, the 900 people that work with Atlantic General Hospital throughout our region. We've been fortunate to continue to have a positive financial statement, and we've been doing a good job in creating a healthy community because one of the things that we're trying to do is create better access to physicians so we have less people coming into the hospital. You can see our admissions were down year over year a little bit. Our emergency room visits were about the same, but our population has grown. So how are we creating better access so we have people coming into the hospital less, which is better for the patients to not have to come into the hospital, and it's better for the community, and it lowers the healthcare costs in the community if you create a healthier community. So then, quickly, we are in the middle of a $10 million capital campaign, and you'll be seeing information on this when you go into your budget meetings. But part of this $10 million campaign is a $35 million expansion of care delivery throughout our region, and there are five key areas that we're focusing on. As I mentioned earlier, I need to stop saying this because I'm going to jinx it at some point, but we're on time and on budget with this construction project on our campus, which really provides much better access to these services to our entire region. We have a relationship with the University of Maryland so that we're able to bring the cancer specialists from the cancer center there to our community through telemedicine, so patients don't have to travel for a second opinion, or if they have some kind of a weird cancer that you don't have to go to a specialty place to get treatment. They can have their initial assessment and their consultation without traveling, go up for treatment, and then also coordinate their follow-up care through our organization without them having to travel. So we're creating these types of relationships to integrate technology and changes in technology to provide better access of care to our to the patients in the community. If you look at the other five or the other four areas, we focused on comprehensive women's health. It's available in moving the some of these things off campus to make them easier to get to. We'll be modernizing, starting in about a year or so, modernizing our patient care areas because the hospital is 25 years old and our patient care areas are 25 years old. So we're going to be redesigning them based on more recent design design data, as well as using integrating our technology into the design of the organization. We'll also be expanding and changing our surgical facilities, again, designed 25 years ago. And then our emergency room is one of those challenging items because we're sized for about 30,000 visits and we're seeing around 38,000-39,000 visits. But as the community gets healthier, how do we manage that, and how are we managing the fact that about 20% of the patients that we see are also coming from the Sussex County area? So it's a challenge with all the resort areas, growing resort areas and all that to keep up with the emergency services. A big part of that, as I said, 18% of visits are from residents and visitors to Sussex County. We've had an increase of 12% from this area over the last few years. So it's one of those challenging areas that we need to keep up. We expanded it about 12, 13 years ago, and looks like we probably need to expand again. We've been focusing on going to our different legislative partners and municipalities as part of our $10 million campaign. We've been able to secure about $2 million in grants now from the Maryland state legislature. As I said, we've got more than 850. We're close to 900 associates now. We have a payroll throughout this region of over $48 million, and we now have 227 physicians on our medical staff. We provide a tremendous amount of community benefits through health screenings, health fairs, free flu shots, those types of things that amounts to over $12 million of free care that we're giving away on an annual basis, and making sure that we're giving access to care throughout our community. So I wanted to present this information to you and make sure that we were connected on what's happening with the folks in the lower part of Sussex County, and then to answer any questions that you might have about services we're providing.
Thank you. Any questions of council?
How can we better serve you? I mean, many people in District 5 visit you and go there. So how could we better?
Well, part of it is we have a very good relationship with the EMS crews from that area, and that is particularly in the summertime. It's much easier to get to where we are than to get to any other emergency room around the Sussex County area. So we have a very good relationship, and we want to continue to have that relationship with the EMS crews and through our emergency room. And then also the relationship, creating that relationship and the handoffs, we do have challenges associated with the Delaware Medicaid program and getting payment for people that come in that way, and some of the challenges also with working across the state lines, even though a good number of the people that live down here have to come there because we're the closest service and we have the physicians that are most conveniently located. So that all is very helpful to continuing to grow the community, part of the infrastructure associated with the community. But how do we make sure that state line is not becoming a barrier to that happening, because that's one of those artificial things.
Right.
We're not building a wall.
No.
No.
No, no. You're right. And emergency services, paramedics do cross the lines.
Yes.
So
I'm just curious. It appears that, you know, all the hospitals are very competitive. You know, it's like they're fighting for business. But every time I have to go to the hospital, it seems like you're full. So, are all the hospitals, I guess, in the region under the pressure of expansion? And if you're already so full, as you know, say BB or Nanticoke and these other hospitals, I'm just curious. It appears that all the hospitals are trying to drum up more business. What am I missing?
It's not what you're missing. I think a lot of what we're trying to do And I say specifically for us. What we're trying to do is trying to create access to care and grow it with the community. Because you're having about, what, like 2% annual growth, 1.5%, something like that, particularly down in that corner of the county. And 75% of that is over the age of 65. So that's a population that's the highest utilizer of healthcare, lots of chronic illness in that particular population. So how do we create connections between the people who live here and the providers of care? So big issue there is creating access to care providers. And if you can't get in to see one for 3 months, that's really not access to that care. So we've got to keep up on providing those services and providing those facilities, because for the women's health, I'll use that as an example. If you've got to drive 45 minutes to an hour for a mammogram, are you going to do it? I don't know, is that convenient? Isn't it convenient? I don't know. Or for people who have difficulty with transportation, how do you make sure that they can get to places like that? So part of it is making sure we have the right services placed appropriately around the community and in areas where people need them to be placed. So that's a part of that growth, getting it away from the hospital as a core and getting it out to the community. The other part of it is, by doing that, can we, and this is more our strategy, we don't want to grow the number of rooms we have, the number of beds that we have. It's the most expensive thing we can do is to grow the hospital. So if we can grow services that keeps people out of the hospital, we've done a much, much better job for the community, and we've kept those services down. So we might get close to full. We need more access. We do know that we have a higher proportion of emergency room visits per population than other communities or other regions around the country, and we have less visits to primary care physicians than the rest of than other communities around the country. So that data tells us that we need better access to health to primary care physicians. People will use them more, and they may use the emergency room less. So it's trying to deal with all those dynamics in the community to make sure that we're doing the right thing.
It's a challenge.
More questions to council?
It is a challenge.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
It's an always an eye opener.
We're going to move on our agenda to the scheduled 10:15 public hearing.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. There's going to be two back-to-back public hearings, a 10:15 and a 10:30. The rules will be the same on those. There will be a short presentation in each case by a member of the county staff. After that presentation, there will be an opportunity for the county council to ask any questions. Subsequent to that, it will be opened up so any member of the public may comment. And at this point, the first hearing is on the Criswell annexation, Johnson's Corner area, and Mr. Ashman's going to do the presentation.